I'm sure we've all heard the saying that you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. But what is an actual example of this? How can you actually see this happening in your daily life? Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Finance Diaries podcast. My name is Stephanie, and I'm here to teach you everything there is to know about personal finance, whether it's the stuff that you didn't learn in school, that our friends and family don't really tend to talk about. Quite frankly, you could say that personal finances are treated like they're a secret, locked away in a secret diary, even. I'm here to unlock and open up that secret diary for you. And that is why I welcome you to another episode of the Finance Diaries podcast. Might be a bit overdue to give some updates, and I think I might change the structure of the podcast to give you some updates at the beginning and then dive into the content of the day. I want to first start by saying that I do know I've covered this topic before. It was one of my first podcasts, but today is going to be a bit different because I'm going to give you some real life examples of my personal examples and those that I've seen in others. So stay tuned. This is not a repeat. A little bit of updates in my life. Closing on the duplex in the North End this week, which is pretty exciting. It has been a little bit of a long time coming. Some financing issues came up last week, and that wasn't the best thing ever, but now we're okay. Smooth sailing. Mortgage instructions have been sent to the lawyer. We are good to go. It's happening this week. Finally, very happy about that. And that project is going to probably be taking about 3 weeks for all of the initial work, and then finding a renter for one of the units. The other unit I'm moving into, and that is going to be interesting, at least for the summer. And then we're going to decide and go from there if we are loving life in the city or if we want to be back by the ocean. So that's going to be interesting. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks. Took a pretty good break during the winter, and I mean, not necessarily by choice, but more by force, because the market has still been absolutely nuts in Nova Scotia. There's still bidding wars on stuff, even though there are higher interest rates than we've seen in the previous few years. And I mean, there's definitely some of the units are sitting longer, the bigger fixer uppers, because I believe that flippers might be a little bit more cautious in this kind of market where things are not absolutely flying off the shelves. And I have heard some other podcasts that I was listening to this past week about how flipping is still possible, but that it really needs to be a very, very low purchase price, and it's not the same kind of flips that you would have been doing over the last few years with the market the way it was. So if you are a flipper, not discouraging you by any means, it's just a time that I've always said, look at your numbers. I've spoken about this before, how I looked at a flip project and it turned out that the neighborhood would not have fetched what I wanted it to get, and I pulled out of the deal. And I'm really glad I did because it would not have given me the returns I wanted. So just always analyze your numbers, analyze the comps, look at everything. Be very aware, get solid quotes from contractors, or if you're doing it yourself, know exactly what you're getting into. The market's definitely still on the up and up. There is more volume that I'm seeing on available in real estate, which is I guess good for buyers because there's more to buy than we've seen in the last couple years, but it does seem prices are still going up, so that is something to consider. Personally, I don't know what I want my ne next opportunity to be. I want to definitely wait on it for a little bit. If you follow me on Instagram, you know I visited this like essentially adult treehouse a couple weeks ago, and it's also on the water. Would have been another Airbnb project, but I'm trying to be wary of how much hospitality I want to be in versus long-term rentals, because Airbnbs are not guaranteed income. And it would have been, I definitely think it would do really well on Airbnb because of the uniqueness of the property. And I think that that's something that's interesting to consider when you're looking at how to differentiate yourself in the Airbnb market, not just like decor wise, but that it is quite literally a treehouse and it's awesome. But it was overpriced and it did need work. So it's something that I could consider later, but I'm trying to be conscious of the fact that I want to try to be hands off, and Airbnb is a very hands-on business, and I don't necessarily want to get a property manager just yet. I'm still self-managing everything, and we'll see how that pans out. I might be looking into a property manager for the long-term rental, depending on the outcome of the next few months, but we'll see. So those are my updates. I've been looking at businesses as well, and I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned it on here, but I do have a business that I've started actually with my mom. My mom had this great idea, and my Israeli business partner. So the three of us have been working on a company, kind of took a bit of a hiatus. We fell off the train. All of us got busy with our lives, but we're back at it. So I'm also working on that in parallel, which is super demanding, I would say, time-wise, because we still are in like a soft launch phase, and it's time-consuming to deal with bugs and defects and stuff and have a real estate business and also have a 9-to-5 job and be trying to have a social life, and summer's starting, so everyone tends to get more social in summer. So we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. I'm pretty optimistic about this company because it's a really unique product, and I'll be able to tell you more about it in the future. So I'm really scattered, I guess. I've also been looking at opportunities in buying businesses, so that's a whole separate story. But those are my updates. So getting into today's, that was kind of a long preamble, but I think it was relevant to tell you a bit about the market and everything that I'm up to. Anyways, today's podcast, it kind of ties into this preamble, which is why I felt it was relevant for it to go on for so long, is that you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. And now you might be thinking, okay, who are my five closest friends? But that's not necessarily it. It's who are the literal five people you spend the most time with. If you're in an office every day and you're working 10 hours a day, that person may very well be your boss or coworker. That person could be like whoever you're in a co-working space with. It could be whoever is around you the most. And I know that I've spoken about this before and like what exactly it means, but in case you haven't heard my podcast, I think this was my second or third podcast that I recorded. I talked about how these people have an influence on you, whether it's conscious to you or subconscious, that you will be able to either thrive or be held back based off of how these people align with your circle. So again, I've spoken about this in the past. I had this moment that I decided that I didn't want to just get drunk on weekends and just live for the weekend and work till I'm 65. And I kind of started refining my social circle based off of people that I felt like I wanted to grow with and that I was interested in their opinions on things and not feeling like I was held back. And that was something that was really important, I would say, in my financial journey, because when I did that, one of my really good friends that actually wasn't at all into finances or improving finances had this complete pivot where this person now is updating me every week on their dividends and asking opinions on stocks, and we're talking about investments and always sending each other TikToks about cool new business opportunities. And I think that that was, we both kind of influenced each other. And that was such a good pivot in the friendship from us just wanting to eat and drink all the time to just having better things for ourselves. So that was one of the ones that I had. I want to talk about another one that I definitely think, well, two of them technically, I guess, that held me back. So at the time, it's like most of the time when we're experiencing something, we don't realize we're experiencing it until afterwards. So the first one was that when I started looking into investing in real estate, and not to say that I regret anything about my journey, about moving to another province and all of that, but I did not align with other people who are investing in real estate. So I was extremely scattered. And again, I've spoken about this before, but I was looking at cottages, I was looking at condos, I was looking at duplexes, I was looking at single family homes, I was like looking at farmhouses at one point, I was looking at commercial space, and I just didn't even know where to begin. And I was getting no encouragement because I was not aligned with anyone who's doing the same thing as me. So that was one of my first big influences, is that I realized I needed to be surrounded by more people that do think and act about real estate. So the Finance Diary was an important part of that, because I'm connected with a lot of people who are doing the same things as me, which I think is really important. So not necessarily that they're the five people I spend the most time with, but the kind of content and the kind of people that I speak to, I want to align with what I want to do. So I did start following a lot more pages that were doing the things that I wanted. And I did unfollow some other ones that didn't align with my interests. Not that their pages weren't interesting and that their content wasn't great, but it just didn't align with my goals and what I was trying to do. So I thought that that was something that was really important, because probably one of the five people that I spend the most time with is my phone. Since I am running this business and I'm doing my Airbnb and everything is a lot on my phone, I am around my phone a lot. I do scroll on Instagram sometimes and TikTok, and it's good to have that content that aligns with what exactly it is that I want. And one of the big steps that I was really nervous about taking, and shout out if anyone from Refine Real Estate is listening to this podcast, I had a friend from there, Janelle, who helped connect me to a group of real estate investors within the Nova Scotia area. And I really appreciated that, because it's just more people that I can surround myself with and encourage me to look into US investing or to look at different flip opportunities and things like that. So that was a good network to get connected to, and to also that the fact that two of them are real estate brokers and connected me to a really good investors real estate brokerage. So that was a good connection to make and to be able to put myself out there. And it was not easy. I know I sound so bubbly and social, but I do have a hard time meeting new people, and to go somewhere where I didn't really know anyone was super nerve-wracking. And I hope that I seemed confident, because I was really afraid, but you do sometimes have to put yourself out there. So that is the first part of it, is I think that the social media and like associated social media, so I made these connections on social media, brought them to real life. That was really important. It's the same thing with Facebook groups. I'm always talking about Facebook groups. Maybe you don't, like, maybe it's not related to real estate. Maybe you want to invest in laundromats, or you want to invest in self-storage, or you want to connect with other sellers on Etsy or small business owners. There are groups for everything, and I think that having that support is very valuable, especially when you don't find it necessarily with your direct group of friends or like people that you interact with. I'm not saying that you need to go out and change your entire social circle because they don't align with what you want, but I do 100% agree that the five people you spend the most time with will elevate you or hold you back. So this is where I'm going to talk to you about holding, getting held back. And I mentioned before that I didn't necessarily realize at the time that I was being held back. I mean, I did definitely have a moment, so I'm going to share this story with you. So I was dating someone who was also somewhat of a real estate investor, but there are different, motivations and goals that everyone has, which is completely acceptable. So if you want to just have a single unit or a couple units and that's what you want, that is completely fine. If you want to scale and grow and get like as many units as you want, that is also fine. If you have no interest in real estate investing, that is also fine. But it's important that you are with people that support you and that motivate you, especially when they are aware of your goals. So this person I was dating, I had just bought a deal, and it had been a couple months. And this person, I had told them, hey, I really want you to come check out this duplex with me, and I want you to tell me if you think this is in a good neighborhood, because I'm not that familiar with the area, and I'd love to know your opinion. And this person's first reaction was to tell me, why do you need to buy another house? And I realized, thankfully, I actually did realize in that moment that that was not the person I was going to spend my life with. Because even though that might not have sounded discouraging, it was very discouraging. because I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, well, it's true. I do have some good property under my belt, and maybe I should wait, and maybe it's not the time. And there was another person that I had spoken to that said, all the good deals are in February. You should only be buying in February. And I waited until February, and I panic bought when I could have bought that property in August of last year. So again, not to negate my journey and not to say that I'm not happy with all the steps I've taken, but I could have gotten my fourth and fifth doors last August instead of this May 31st, June, essentially. So almost a year. I could have been a lot further along in my journey had I not made myself be second, well, feel like I'm second guessing myself, or made myself feel like I was doing something, like as if I was being harmful to someone. Because again, you all know me, I buy distressed properties. I buy things that are not in bidding wars. I buy things that people are looking at as a problem, and I turn it into an opportunity. And everyone is constantly saying, wow, you're so lucky you got such a good deal. Well, you know, I had to go through a lot to get here. And surrounding myself by people who see that and have that vision that I have, and that also maybe not necessarily feel like they want to do the same thing themselves, but at least encourage me and support me, that is so important. I have quite a few people that I've actually met through my Finance Diaries Instagram page. Some of them that I've met up with in real life, which has been so interesting and so wonderful. One of my favorite accounts is Victoria at Bad Bitch Money, and she's located in Australia, and we were so lucky to get to meet up with each other. And she is so encouraging. She is like 17 time zones away from me and still constantly encourages me. Even though she wants nothing to do with real estate investing, she's like, yes, you own it. You got this. You're killing it. And that's what I mean by not necessarily everyone that you are spending, these five people or anyone that you spend the most time with, needs to be completely on the same journey as you. But the support and the encouragement, and like maybe you want to invest in, maybe you want to have a bunch of vending machines. Well, you having a bunch of vending machines and me wanting to have a bunch of properties, those are parallel. Those are similar. If you want to become, I don't know, like a tech founder, and that you want to start growing a company, you know, those are again similar values that you want to have someone that spends a lot of time with you. And you want to support and encourage each other because you understand that you're not in the same situation as the average Joe. You're not the person who's necessarily just trying to go to work, go straight home, watch Netflix, and like just live your life. Maybe if you want to do that, there's absolutely, again, I have no judgment. There's nothing that is wrong with your financial goals as long as you have some, and that you work towards them, whatever they are. I think that's so important to remember, is that even though I do talk a lot about investing in real estate, at the fundamental basis, if you are spending less than you make and you are investing the difference, even if you're buying index funds every month or you're maxing out your RSP and TFSA and you love your job and you want to work till you're 65, those are goals. Those are people that you can align yourself with, that you even maybe start speaking to your friends. Hey, do you guys get an RSP contribution match from your employer? Oh, you don't know? Maybe worth looking into, because maybe you're losing out on some money. So anything that is your goal, if you are finding friends that are aligned with that, that is what you should be striving for. I have friends that I spend less time with because I know that we're not always aligned on these same kind of things. And I remember this quote. I mean, I don't remember the quote. I can vaguely remember the quote, and I'm sorry if I'm butchering it, but the quote is essentially saying that you're never saying the wrong thing, you're saying it to the wrong people. So something, it was like basically about showing off, like saying, hey, if like let's say I went up to someone who had some sort of spending problem and was having a really hard time balancing their budget, and kind of angry at landlords and all that stuff. And I went over to them and I'm like, hey, just close on my fourth and fifth property. They'd be like, why the heck are you telling me this, right? Versus if I told someone else that maybe was starting off their real estate journey and heard me say that and was like, wow, I want to work with you. Or someone maybe who is the opposite, who has been doing this for 20 years, has 200 doors, and they're like, you know, I think that I could teach you a couple things about growing and scaling and all that stuff. So finding those people that are able to either encourage you, be encouraged by you, mutual encouragement, all that stuff is so important to have around you. And again, it's often, unfortunately, only when we look back that we feel that we could have done things differently, because we know the result, we know how things turned out. But that can help empower you to make future decisions. If you look at who you spend the most time with, the five people that you spend the most time with, one of them might be your parent, one of them might be your partner, a sibling, a friend, a roommate. These people, whether you know it or not, are encouraging you. And I'm so blessed to have such a supportive and encouraging partner who, although he does not invest in real estate himself at the moment, he has been invaluable to me. He is constantly helping me with everything. And he is so encouraging. I show him properties. He's like, I love it. Do you want to go visit it? What do you think about this? Let's run the numbers. Like, he is not an investor. And he's doing all this because he sees it in me that it is something very important to me and wants to maybe eventually one day invest in real estate, is looking at buying a business as well. And this mutual encouragement that we have is just going to be continuing to flourish as we continue to date, because we have these things in common and we both are working towards goals that we want to be a bit more financially free. I mean, what does that even mean, a bit more financially free? I mean, I guess like more, if you've ever heard the term FIRE, financial independence, retire early, everyone has, sorry, they've been going off on a bit of a side tangent, but this also could be really interesting if you are interested. So it's called FIRE and you have a FIRE number, quote unquote. So your FIRE number is essentially how much you need to retire comfortably. And that means that you will save or invest, or well, both usually. You save and invest aggressively, very aggressively. Some people's savings rate is like 80% of their income to be able to get to retirement and have this amount of money last you your whole retirement. So there's a formula as well. If you want to go online, you can look at calculating it. But there's what's called like a fat FIRE number, which is like living like a lush life, like comfortable vacations, like luxury lifestyle. And then there's just like a regular FIRE number, which is just maybe if you were continuing to live the same lifestyle you are. And then there's like a lean FIRE number, which is you'll continue to kind of live frugally so that your money can go longer. And usually like these numbers can vary between like $1 million and like $5 million. So that's what I mean by more financially free, is getting more towards that fat FIRE number, just as a little side tangent. But that's the whole point, is that we always want to be learning. We want to be surrounding ourselves with people who have something to teach us or talk to us about, like something interesting that they've heard. Like even if you're like my friend who just sends me TikToks about new business endeavors, or we want to sit around and talk about opportunities in investments. I have a friend that was an experienced real estate investor, taught me a lot about the Nova Scotia market, and actually sold his properties at the height of the market so he could pay off his primary house and his dream cottage that he's building. That's also going to serve as an Airbnb because he wanted to pay those off and he wanted to have that financial independence now to just work, to be able to work, because he truly loves his job. And then when he feels like it's time and he wants to do something different, or he wants to stop working — I don't think he's the kind of person that would ever stop working — but have the ability to do that. And that's someone that's so great to surround myself with, because although we don't have the exact same goal of retiring early, well, we have the same goal of doing things that are going to help improve our finances, and we can really lean on each other for support and advice and getting information out of each other, because he's new to Airbnb. I can help him with that. I was new to real estate. He helped me with that. Super beneficial, mutually helpful. And those are the kinds of people that I want to surround myself with. Let me know if you have any questions or comments on this. I would love to see these come in. If you have anything to contribute, you can send it to me on my Instagram, on my TikTok. You can email me thefinancediaries@gmail.com, and I would love to hear your feedback. I would also love to see you hit the like and subscribe button. It means so much to me. It helps me get my podcast out there to more people. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Finance Diaries podcast, and have a great week ahead.